Welcome to Near FM this morning. My name is Myra Gleeson and my guest this morning is Colm O'Byrne, the Education Officer for the Rediscovery Centre in Ballymun.
Good morning, Myra. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Now, you're going to talk to us a little bit on a subject that most people don't even think about.
No, most people don't think about it, but are intimately acquainted with. We come to you now from the salubrious settings of one of the toilets in the Boiler House in Ballymun.
Okay.
And the reason we're here is because I just wanted to show you how, with our toilets, we harvest the rainwater to use for flushing. Now, that's
one
of the main things. Now, you will remember the summer of 2018, where we had, it was over 40 days without rain, there were drought notices, we had to be careful of the water. Should we really ever have a situation in Ireland where we're rationing water, considering the amount of rain we get? And, you know, it's a nonsense that we should. We should be responsible on the use of it, but we should never run out of it. It's just because we don't have the systems in place to capture all the water that we're given, which is a, you know, boon for us relative to so many countries in the world. So on top of the roof here, we have a couple of huge storage tanks and we harvest the rainwater. And that rainwater is used for loads of things in this building. For example, flushing the toilets, which is a good start, but that's not the end of it. Because the Rediscovery Centre is the National Centre for the Circular Economy, it means we're always trying to close the loop. Right, and how do you close the loop with what we flush down the toilet? Well, it's not exactly a dinner party conversation.
I know, but it is important, Colm. It is important.
It is very important, it is. Because it has to go somewhere. It has to be dealt with. So what we do is, when we flush the toilet here, which obviously most people have now, the big flush and the little flush, that waste, solid and liquid, go into our plant room, which is sort of the nerve centre of the building. And in there, they pass through a sort of a centrifugal machine, which spins high speed and separates the solid waste from the liquid waste.
Okay.
Now, so the solid waste goes into a big, huge drum. It's in different sections. And in there are a number of creatures who have probably the worst job in the world, a whole army of worms who eat their way through.
Okay.
Solid waste, okay. And so that goes on there. But anyway, the liquid waste goes into two different directions. Some of it goes upstairs to our gantry wall, where it's going to feed the plants. I'll explain that to you now in a moment.
Okay, gantry
and
wall.
And the rest of it passes to our reed bed system out in the garden. And we can speak about that in a moment.
All right, okay. Well then, we're going to move there, I assume,
why
okay?
Not?
Okay. So where are we now, Colm?
Well, right now we are upstairs on the first floor of the Boiler House in the gantry. So this is a part of the building that faces west. And you can see in front of you a whole line of plants in three layers coming in pipes. And these plants are grown they're not grown in your traditional method using soil. They're grown hydroponically, which means the roots are sort of in between synthetic fibres. Now, where are they going to get their nutrients from? Well,
okay.
This is where some of our liquid waste comes into it.
No way.
It does, yes, it does. So it's watered down to a degree and then fed through these pipes and the plants extract a lot of the nutrients. They're extracting the urine or in other parlance, taking the you-know-what.
Yes.
So the thing is, and the reason this isn't just being done to be, you know, quirky, there's an actual real-life application to this, in fact, a global application. Phosphorus is an incredibly important material when it comes to agriculture and soils and getting the soil rich enough to provide us with all the food we need. Phosphorus, as well as like it's the mining of it, you know, produces a lot of CO2 gases, but nearly more importantly, it's a finite resource. And there's only a certain amount of countries in the world, I think Western Sahara might be one of them, which is sort of run by Morocco at the moment. There's only a certain amount of it left.
Oh.
So populations are growing, and population is going at a huge rate, and it's, if not exponentially, it's certainly...
But it's going down then, the phosphorus.
And the phosphorus is going down. So this is an existential problem, if you like.
Oh, right.
So what do we do to feed growing populations if we don't have the phosphorus to enable us to keep that type of the intensive agriculture that's required?
Okay, Colm, I have to stop you there because
yes.
My brain is spinning at the moment. So I'm seeing all these beautiful plants and flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And the one question is going, can you use all this recycled water and from the toilet and
yes.
everything else for human plants, like, you know, for vegetables?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Oh, my.
So what happens is, there's a gentleman who comes in a few times a year and he will cut these plants down and then compost them. So the phosphorus that has been extracted from the urine is present in the plants, it's composted, and then that can be used to add to the soil. So that's how we're getting the phosphorus. Rather than mining it, we're using the deposits that people unwittingly or wittingly leave behind when they visit us here in the boiler house.
Okay, I'm not only am I stunned, I'm absolutely flabbergasted. And I can't, the plants are fabulous, but they're facing west.
Yes.
Obviously for the sun.
They get the sun in the afternoon, evening. And what happens is, well, maybe there's a buildup of carbon dioxide during the day. So, and it sort of can filter its way out here, and then when the sun comes, it can help with the photosynthesis there, taking in the carbon dioxide, releasing oxygen, and yeah.
Okay, now Colm, you said a word,
photosynthesis.
What is that?
Right, photosynthesis is basically how plants create energy. It's the magic of plants, if you like. So they use the sunlight, they use carbon dioxide, and they synthesize sugars that allow them to grow from these things, and then expel oxygen, which is a waste product as far as plants are concerned. They don't want that. Trees, plants, they don't want oxygen. Get rid of it.
Okay.
Which is good for us, right? And every other animal who needs oxygen.
Well, it's extraordinary because I feel actually I'm nearly on Star Trek here, you know, because I'm just saying to myself, this is the most extraordinary thing. So where are you going to take me now?
Right, well, we are going to take a wander out into the lovely autumnal weather we're being privy to now. Out to the reed beds, and we'll see how nature deals with these
lovely
elements.
Okay, well, we'll pop out there now. Colin, we're out on a bridge here, and I'm standing on the bridge, but everywhere there's trees, and you have an enormous pond here,
but
full of water.
Yeah, we're just taking a pit stop on the way to the reed bed. Basically, this is our biodiversity pond. And it's fed by rainwater again, which is harvested from above there on the roof.
Okay.
So, I suppose going by that old cinematic maxim, if you build it, they will come. We built a little biodiversity pond here. Now, it's not perfect because, as you can see, it's quite isolated. It's away from the trees and the plants. And ideally, you'd like them all to be linked up.
Okay.
Like, say, for frogs, for example, they could get in and spawn and get back out into the ground again. So this, it's isolated. However, there during the warmer weeks we had last month and the month before, the local heron gulls and doves and pigeons found out about it or copped onto it. And we're having a great time jumping in there and cooling off and everything, which is brilliant.
Oh, wonderful.
But the thing was, they were leaving the feathers and it was all oily and they were pooing along the sides quite a bit. But
well, it's lovely
now. It's good for them to have it. So we have lots of different native grasses and plants we've tried to put in. There's little fish in there, sticklebacks.
Oh.
We've pond snails. So we're just growing. We're seeing what works and everything else.
And this thing at the side of the building here, this greenery, what is that?
That is the green wall. So
the green wall.
It's a vertical wall that goes up a building. Now, this again, like everything we have here in the Rediscovery Centre, it's just a miniature version of something which can be applied on a much grander, larger scale as a one-off or societally. So you have in bigger cities, say like Hong Kong or Singapore, really large cities, you have something called the urban heat island effect. So when it's warm, because of all the concrete and tarmac, that absorbs so much more of the warmth coming down. And as a result, this urban heat island effect can bring temperatures up a degree or two warmer than they are in the outskirts. So this has impacts on air quality, living conditions, everything else, biodiversity numbers. So in large areas where you don't have any space for greenery and so on, but what do? You've got lots of walls, so what can you do? You can build vertically up the wall. Oh yeah, yeah.
It's so simple, the idea.
Very simple, very simple.
Oh.
And what you're doing is you're cleaning the air, you're dissipating heat, and you're adding, more habitats for the local biodiversity. And there's actually one in town there, somewhere along the South Quay on the way up to the old the Ferryman and the Dockers Bar. It's massive. It's well established. It's maybe coming out nearly a foot from the wall. It's huge.
Oh, I have to go down there and see that.
Should.
That's absolutely amazing. And on the other side, we'll walk down here.
Yes, yes.
So on the other side, you've all these trees and plants.
Yeah.
Like hedges, but and some of the trees.
A lot of these are willow. So we grow willow are great. They bring out their pollen very early in the spring, which is great for bees when they come out. People tend to get rid of dandelions and everything else, the early spring flowers. So our willow offers them a great chance to get some early season pollen and nectar.
Also then we can coppice this, cut it down, it grows back, willow's great for growing back, and we can use that in our wood fire stove inside in the building. So if we don't have enough warmed energy from our solar panels, we can supplement it with the willow we've coppiced from here.
That is an extraordinary thing. But now we're on a large roof here.
Yes, we're actually on a roof. This is our kitchen garden. And what we're standing on now is atop the old reservoir where all the water used to be stored before it was sent into the boiler house to warm up the heat, which is then sent to all the flats back in the day when this was originally a boiler house for the flats. So what we have here is a lot of pumpkins growing, we've rhubarb, we've berries, we've comfrey, herbs, and this part you see here, this is a green roof. Now these are very popular in Germany. I saw some figure that maybe 15% of houses in Germany have these green roofs. Now if you think about when it rains and the rain hits our slated roofs,
okay.
So what does it do?
Slides off.
It just slides off and goes down onto the ground, into the storm drains, whatever else. If there's a huge amount of rain, then and the water table is high already, you're going to get flooding. Something like this will, that these roofs will have lots of little succulent plants and soil. They will absorb that water and they'll slow its release.
Well,
so
amazing.
It's less prone to flooding. It also has that the same effect that our vertical wall over there has in terms of dissipating heat. It acts as insulation in the winter, stops too much heat getting in the summer, and again it acts as a biodiversity. And for some ground nesting birds, they quite like these things as well. So
extraordinary.
Again, it's just to show how these things can be done on a small scale. If we can do it here, it can be applied elsewhere.
Well, I think it's just absolutely, I'm just looking at your rhubarb. It's enormous.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
What's beside, just behind us?
They're the gooseberries, raspberries, blueberries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And then all of this middle one is, and you can see all the old steel iron, or the iron sleepers that have taken from the building that we now use to prop up our beds.
But you know, now I'm looking at them and clearly, and I just thought they were, they're beautiful,
yeah.
But they're fantastic.
So it's
amazing.
Taking the function from the old building and using it in a different way. And in fact, if you cast your eye right to the very back and over the fence, you'll see a rusting hulk of steel. That's one of the old boilers. This is part of Ballymun's industrial heritage, really.
Oh, right.
So we kept that there just because it's part of what Ballymun was, you know.
I think it's absolutely amazing. And I even love the yellow
pallets
yes, and the flowers that are in it. So do volunteers come in here or are the people working full-time?
We have a mixture of full-time staff. People come here on community employment schemes, two schemes. We also have a number of interns who come here, usually work with me and the education team. And they get their hands into everything. They'd be doing workshops or helping us develop things or coming out and getting stuck in the garden.
Well, I really want to come back again, and I'm actually pleasantly surprised now. But I know I shouldn't be saying it to the listeners, but talking about the fact that the produce from the toilets can be reused,
oh,
and
yes.
Even for plants, it's an amazing idea.
But when you think about it, I mean, think about what a lot of our veg, like farmers spread slurry. I mean, you know, what's that?
Yes,
you know,
yes. So well, you're talking to a complete city, Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 100%.
Yeah, well, so am I. I'm a Jackie going back generations myself, although I hate the term Jackie,
but
that's what I am.
But I have to say this, but this is absolutely... And I'm just wondering, hopefully in the future, that developers, when they're building, will consider this in the future and incorporate because into their designs
of
and everything
course,
else.
Yeah.
But I am absolutely delighted. Colm, I'm going to say thank you so much for bringing me around.
No
and
would you like to see the reed bed before you go?
I would be delighted. Oh, thank
excellent.
You so much. Okay, Colm, what is that?
That is what's commonly referred to as a bug hotel. Now, I dislike the term bug hotel. I prefer insect inn.
It's
a bit of an iteration.
But there's weird things in it.
Yeah, well, there is. There's lots of different natural materials. You see pine cones and straw and bricks and everything. And again, like I mentioned to you above about the whole, if you build it, they will come. You can't have animals, you know, in your area if you don't have somewhere for them to go. And so this is just giving a habitat to different insects and spiders and the likes. And actually, if you put it up in Daft, you'd probably be able to rent it for about 1,300, 1,400 quid a month. But you'll see some of the straw there.
Okay.
Now, It was a funny story. I mentioned that we have interns working for us. So a lot of the time we have some German interns, and they're brilliant, and their English, of course, is incredible.
Superb, yeah.
Yeah. So one time I came out here at the end of last year, and I noticed the straw was, you know, needed to be fixed up a bit. So I said to him, listen, could you go out and put a load of straw in there, please? And I said, yeah, no problem. So that was fine. And I came out later on that day, and I looked in, and there was about 200 drinking straws stuffed into these pallets here.
we're speaking English, but it's not the same
exactly.
language.
And I was like, what the hell are you doing? It's a world of straws. I was like, yeah.
And I
would like to disclaim that the straws we use are made from cornstarch. So that's it. Just a load of pallets put up on top of each other. It was really solidly done. And it's just a nice little habitat. And then we have some succulents and that growing on top.
Okay.
Again.
Now, what do succulents do?
Succulents are just like they're hardy plants that you don't really have to look after. You know, they absorb water into the leaves, keep it there for a long time. Like aloe vera or something like this.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know.
I love this little chair
it's a nice little bench.
Little bench outdoor.
And what you can see here now with all these reeds, this is our outdoor wastewater cleaning facility, if you like. And what this is doing essentially is mimicking rivers. We've got different reeds, so the wastewater is passed out through there into that first point where you see all these reeds coming up, exactly like the reeds you'd find in a riverbed.
All right.
Okay. So reeds in a riverbed have this; they'll absorb a lot of toxins from water, so they actively help clean the water for you. The water is then dropped down vertically and then works its way along here. Now you see these. Also are frondy little reeds, different types.
Frondy?
The fronds are the names of the long leaves.
Oh, right.
And you'll notice there's gravel and everything else. So again, like a riverbed, you'll have the river bed will have stones, smaller stones, pebbles, sand, everything else. So particulates of dirt that were in that water can be caught in this part here. Okay? So it's been cleaned with the reeds, taking toxins out. The particulates are being caught up there, and it passes through to this final place, where again, it's cleaned one more time with reeds before it goes out into the main sewage pipe. So before we put it out into the mains where everything else goes, we have it cleaned up a fair bit.
Oh my goodness.
And we have this nice little area as a result.
That's
of it
a good
as well.
Extraordinary thing. I love the little mural there. What's made of?
So that's, I can't remember, it's a Japanese artist. Print artist from the 1800s, and he created a lot of very famous prints of tsunamis and everything else. So that's what this is, done on a larger scale, but done with squashed down plastic lids.
Oh my goodness, it's a big wave, isn't it?
Yeah, like a tsunami, a tidal wave coming in.
And it's recycled plastic.
It's reused plastic.
Reused plastic.
And I suppose what the artist is trying to say there is, you know, if we're not careful, this is what we'll have, waves of plastic.
Oh.
Do you see?
Oh, I was looking at it just like from an art point of view, and I now, my goodness, this is far more serious.
Yeah, there's a deeper message to it
as
well.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I've taken that point.
Yeah. So it's very cleverly done, but also, yeah, I mean, there was, I think the UN came out with a figure there last year, not specifically related to plastic. Well, actually it is, because they said, going by current rates, by 2050 there'll be more plastic in the oceans than there will be fish. And when you think that plastic production only started 60 years ago, 70 years ago, that, like, in a geological time scale, it's nothing, it's the blink of an eye. And we've already had that impact on the planet. So that's why projects like what we do here and other organizations really just trying to raise awareness to people, like, we have to do things, we can do things, what we show what can be done on a practical level here.
It's absolutely amazing. And have you plans for this enormous chimney here?
There are some plans. Now, I have a couple of ideas in motion. I can't tell them to you yet, but when they get going, you'll be the first to know.
Okay, but okay? You are thinking about it.
Oh, we're thinking about it because it's a landmark. It's about 50 metres tall. It's huge anyway. I like to say, to paraphrase Father Ted, so big you can see it from anywhere in the world.
Well, it is huge. I mean, it's enormous, and I'm just wondering, could the wall garden, the wall garden that's going up there, could that be used? But I have
possibly.
Not in the right. Yes, but
do
I'm,
you ever go walking down Bull Island?
Oh yes, all the time.
If you go down to the end of the walk, is it Stella Maris?
Yes.
On a bright day, clear day, if you turn around there and you look north, you'll see that.
Oh my goodness.
You will, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
You can see it from nearly any high point in Dublin. If you look north, you'll be able to see it.
Well, that's absolutely extraordinary. Now, Colin, are you taking me somewhere else?
We're going to nearly finish our tour of the garden. Okay. I'm just going to show you a miniature replica of our water saving system that we have down here, just to show up.
All right, okay. So we'll walk on now.
Okay.
Colin, we're outside a rainwater harvester with plastic bottles. I'm not too sure what this place is. It's in outside a little house or something.
Yeah, it's at the back of our education shed. So this is where we keep an awful lot of materials. And it's just a smaller version of what happens in the building as a whole. So what we do is, just on the flat of this roof, the rain comes down into the gutter.
Okay.
And much like a water butt that a lot of people have in their back gardens to their downpipe, you can see here, the water comes down through that pipe and it fills from below. So all of these old plastic bottles, old 2 litre bottles, will fill up with water, which we collect. And we use it for, you know, if we're just watering around here.
Oh,
you
I see a little pipe at the end.
A little tap at the bottom.
Oh, a tap.
Yes, yeah. And it's just to show, like, the water we have in our drinking water at home, that's all treated. It's expensive to do and you sort of need it treated. But we don't need that treated water to flush our toilets. We don't need it to feed our plants. You know, it's ridiculous that we use it for that.
Okay.
So we've all this perfectly good rainwater to harvest. So this is just a small version. So here's what we do. Here's how it can be done. And we're using old plastic bottles to do it. And it's neat. You know, it's quite a nice looking thing altogether.
And I'm stunned. It's actually, there's a lot of thought put into it. I think it's wonderful.
And like anything, we try and have lovely visual things for when we have groups coming
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
You know, so they can look at it and go, geez, that's how it works. You know, it makes sense when you look at it, you know. Because it's all well and good speaking to people. But people have different learning, you know.
Of course.
So a lot of people are visual. So I could think I'm being perfectly clear, but it's just blah, blah, blah. You know,
well,
so.
This is all to me, Carl. I mean, you're very young, and I'm a much older. But I'm much older generation. So this is kind of mind-boggling for me, and it's wonderful, but it's so positive, and everything else like that. And I'm going to have a walk around afterwards, if that's okay.
Still,
now you've a new coffee shop inside.
Yeah, the cafe. We have our cafe open now for the last, I'm going to say, a month, and it's brilliant. You know. Gets lots of people in, lots of people from the area come in. We do lovely coffees, we do sandwiches, we don't do takeaway cups. People are encouraged to bring their own takeaway cup if they want to take one on the go. We sell takeaway cups. I believe you get a free cup of coffee if you buy one.
Okay.
And so we're all about encouraging that type of behavior and just getting people to come in, sit down, enjoy themselves, relax.
Well, I think that's wonderful. So you're going to bring me back inside, I think. And I have to say, Gon, this has been an absolutely marvelous experience, mind-boggling. And to the listeners, I am sorry we started the interview in the toilet, but there was a reason. And I know it'll be... anyway, we'll say no more. Forgive me. So I'm going to say to Colin, thank you so much.
And can I just say that we're open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 5. So you're more than welcome at any time, anyone, to come and visit us, have a walk around, look in our shop, have a coffee
and please come out onto the roof garden and be inspired.
Yes.
And the shop is quite large and everything is recycled. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm going to be coming back up again very, very shortly, but right now I can smell the coffee and we're going to go in and have a coffee. Thank you very much, Colin.
You're very
welcome.
Thank you.